Hello, Zuko here. But I guess you probably already know me.
You guys here for a rematch?
Negatory!
I think it's time I joined your group and taught the Avatar firebending.
Zuko! Yes! Why would I be expecting anyone different?
Greetings, my good Hotman.
We've been through so many things together.
Baby, you're my forever girl.
It'll be okay. It's not forever.
That's what I'd say, too.
Hotman? Hotman? Hotman?
My first girlfriend turned into the moon. That's rough, buddy.
Hotman? Hotman?
There. I got a pretty good look at you.
Let them rot.
I'll take that as a thank you.
Stay flaming, Hotman.
Stop calling me that.
Shh. I'm trying to watch.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender podcast for DongbuFang.net. I'm your main host, Dylan, and today I'm joined by Sam.
Hello.
And Jeff.
Hello.
So this is our first podcast in actually not a year, a little less than a year. Me and Mel did a movie discussion podcast last July. But, yeah, so this was a very spur-of-the-moment thing. I've kind of wanted to podcast again for a little bit. And now that Korra's out, I think we'll have a lot more to talk about. I don't expect the podcast to be... Still, they expect very sporadic podcasts, if at all. At least until Korra comes back next year, which will be our main discussion for today. Other points of discussion, then we'll go over news and also a Legacy of Avatar segment, which... may or may not be interesting. Probably not. I guess we'll see. Yeah, this is Jeff's first podcast in about, 2 years?
Yeah, something like that.
So you want to say what you've been doing and stuff, Jeff?
Oh, yeah, sure. I just got back from Australia, I think 3 months ago. I was there for 2 years. And because of what I was doing there, I didn't really use a computer a whole lot, just once a week for emails. So I was pretty excited to get back to it all. I heard what the movie was like, and I wasn't excited, but I knew I had to watch it.
How did you hear about it?
Friends and family emailed me, and I knew a few fans over in Australia, so they told me when it came out.
Yes, that was the main thing. You came back, saw the movie, and of course, did you know about Korra?
Yeah, no, this is a funny story, because my sister sent me an email saying, hey, she gave me the link to all the information, and I replied and just said, hey, sister, look on YouTube, search for Foamy Mouth Guy, and she was like, all right, I looked at it, I don't really see what you want, it's just a guy spazzing. He's like, yeah, that's what I was doing when I read your letter. So I was really excited for Korra.
Nice. Yes, then you came back and you read all the details.
Yeah.
Even more. So, in recent Avatar news, we have, first of all, the movie dominated news for quite a while. There wasn't much on Korra. Korra was announced somewhere in the middle bit. In the middle, we didn't get too much info on it. So, recently, the movie has won 5 Golden Raspberry Awards.
Really?
Woohoo!
What for?
For Worst Picture. Let's see if I can do this from memory. Worst Picture, Worst Director, Worst Screenplay, Worst Supporting Actor for Jackson Rathbone, but he also shared that with his Twilight performance, or clips. And Worst Eye Gouging Misuse of 3D. So, congratulations.
What an honor.
Yeah, I know. Congratulations to the movie. And the Golden Raspberry Awards are awards for awarding the worst in movies. They're not all great and hilarious and stuff. There's still politicking. It's not like, I don't know how many people would have said Eclipse, which got tied Last Airbender for the most nominations this year, was one of the worst movies of the year. But it's still because of the whole anti-Twilight thing is... got all those things. So yeah, that just pretty much concluded the negative backlash of the movie. Opinions on the awards, you guys think they mattered at all?
Not really.
Yeah, I doubt it. I doubt anyone's opinion changed because of the awards.
Yeah, I think most people thought the movie sucked anyway. I'm curious, Jeff, what did you... You heard negative stuff about the movie.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah, it was just generic negative stuff. It was crap.
So then you came back and watched it, and what do you think?
Yeah, I watched it. I got to the end, and I said, what do you think? I said, well, the acting wasn't good, and the bending wasn't good, so this really had nothing going for it. the acting just, you know, no ringers thing, which is not very good, and the bending, like, I know a lot of people have mentioned this, that it's like you have to do 50 billion moves to get water to move.
You have to do, like, a whole elaborate dance to move one rock.
Yeah, exactly. So that was no good. One thing I did like, though, not about the movie, but about the reviews, because I was nervous. I was counting on this movie to kind of like vindicate my fandom, you know, to show the world that, hey, look, this isn't just a stupid, you know, kids show, which it isn't, and no one, I don't think anyone thinks it is, but this is just in my head. You know, this can be a really cool movie. And then the movie came out and sucked, so dang it, that doesn't work. But every review that I read, most of them said they acknowledged that the fans were not happy with this. They acknowledged that the original show was an amazing piece of work.
Yeah, I think that was the... I noticed that too. Almost every article said based on critically acclaimed... it probably said children's show from Nickelodeon, but... Yeah, I get what you're... I think a lot of fans thought this could be like a jumping on point for a lot of people into the series.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in a way it might have actually drawn enough attention to the series that it may have done as well of a job, even if it was good. Like, it may have drawn people's attention to it anyway.
That's true. I'd like to see some numbers on that, like sales of DVDs and all that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I'm sure it went up, but it... I think there's a couple categories of fans with regard to the movie. I think they're the... No offense here, but the... I can't remember the word, but the not accepting of reality fans who think the movie was good. You're allowed to have your opinions. There definitely were good aspects of the movie. But there are fans who kind of, like, feel indignant about all the criticism towards it because they invested so much into the movie. And that's something I'll get back to. And there's also fans who just, like, didn't like it, but shrug it off because it's not... We're fans of the show, not fans of the movie. But then there's the fans that genuinely hate the movie and M. Night and think that it did damage to the show.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I don't think I've ever really gotten how this does damage to the show. Because I feel like they're separate enough that it's just like, oh, okay, it may have hurt the franchise because I doubt we'll see a movie again of it. But it looks like the franchise is going strong now with Korra and the comic books, which we'll get to in a minute. So I guess, I think the attitude to have is, if you don't like the movie, just don't like the movie, and don't... It doesn't have anything to do with the show. Do you agree, disagree?
I agree. One funny thing about the fans who just hate the movie, hate M. Night, edit this if you want, Dylan, but if you go to Google, I just found this on a Facebook page, go to Google, type in M. Night Shyamalan is, and it'll give you, you know, suggestions.
Hilarious. Yeah. Suggestions as to what M. Night is.
A lot of... A lot of hatred towards M. Night Shyamalan. For me, I don't really dislike him because of the movie as much as I do... I mean, this is something you could have missed, Jeff. There was a fan panel a couple months or a year. I don't even remember. I've lost track of my sense of time with the fandom. With M. Night. And something that he said was that it was towards the end of, it was towards, like, season 3 when he started, when he, like, wanted to make the movie, and he called them up and he said, guys, you gotta end the show, if I'm gonna make this movie, or something like that. That's
probably... I heard about that, yeah.
Yeah. That is what I'm most pissed off about from him. Mm-hmm. Because, like, regardless of whether Mike and Brian wanted to, like, were planning on ending it after season 3 or not, which apparently they were, he can't... Him affecting the show is in... That is the worst possible thing to me.
Yeah.
So that personally is my reason for really disliking him. Not even about the movie. I probably...
There was one thing, though, that I read once. It kind of softened it a little bit for me. Not really, but he was talking about making the movie, and specifically about the end scene with the big koi fish monster. And he mentioned the reason he didn't use that in the movie was because the animated series actually stole that from another movie. So he couldn't use that. You know, that would just be stealing from the movie himself. So
that's interesting.
That's why he used the wave.
He could. Tell
you the truth, I don't even remember that part of the movie. I don't remember it. I don't remember anything from the movie at all.
I have not seen the movie again. Me and Mel talked about it the day of when we put this, when we put our movie review podcast up, and we're kind of like, isn't this something else? My opinion was kind of like, oh, you know, that wasn't good, but it was still really fun. And that's what me and Mel were. We're still kind of on a high from the movie. Neither of us were like, oh, we hate this, but we're both like, it wasn't good. But we went over everything from the movie anyway.
Yeah, I was impressed by how neutral you guys were about it.
Yeah, and I think I was at the time. I think I was very, like, I was disappointed from the movie, but I was just like, I mean, towards the end of the movie when I was watching it, I went to a midnight showing, I was just laughing it off, and it was, the first half of the movie, there was, like, a clear disconnect. First half, I was, like, intensely watching, and then by the second half, it was just gone, and I was just laughing at the terrible dialogue. And I didn't really feel disappointed, like, at first. But as time went on, I realized just how much I had invested in this movie, even if it was just posting about it, like making news posts on Dongfeng. And like by not now, but a couple months after, I just felt really disappointed by the movie. Mostly because, in a way, I did become a fan of the movie before it even came out. And it was very tough. And it was very tough looking back and seeing how terrible it was, then it going up for the worst movies, and then just all this negative backlash. And now when everyone mentions the bad year when movies had last year, that was like the first thing that came up. What for you, Sam? What was your story with it?
With like how I saw the movie and like how I felt about it.
I mean, I guess like how did you feel like just to hate it right after?
I remember in the theater, I was kind of embarrassed to be there. Like, certain parts, I was just, like, putting my hand in my head in my hands and just being, oh, this is horrible.
Uh-oh. So you kind of...
I kind of hated it.
You kind of felt it right away?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, as time moved on, I was just, nah, big joke, you know. Bad movie, but series is still good.
That's interesting. So you kind of went, like, from the down point back up, and I went up, back down. That's interesting.
Yeah. I got a question. Did either of you have cosplayers at your theaters?
No, not that I saw.
I did not either. I went to a midnight showing. I actually bet my friends money that we would see at least one cosplayer, and there were none, and I was really disappointed.
I went in, like, 3 in the afternoon, so no.
But yeah, actually, so the reviews for the movie didn't come out till, and we're spending more time on this than I thought, but whatever. They didn't come out and start coming out till like that morning or something, and then I saw them and I saw that they were bad, but they're still like two positive ones, so I was like, you know, this is probably going to be bad, but whatever. But I guess so, I went into it not really knowing that it would be like horrible, but I guess you did, Jeff? So I don't know, maybe that made a difference?
Yeah, I knew what I was getting.
Yeah. So my feelings on this now are probably definitely worse than the last podcast. But I still enjoyed it, which is interesting, because it's still Avatar on a big screen. Like, I still liked Nicholas Peltz's performance, which is surprising, considering not many people agree with me and Mel. That was like, we were like praising her in the podcast, and I haven't heard anything else backing it up. She actually got nominated for a Razzie, which is totally unfair. She's 15, but whatever. But now Korra news has come, so I think that's helped soften stuff for the fans. And in terms of a sequel, what's your guys' opinion on a possible, but not likely anymore, sequel?
No.
No under not any happening. No under any circumstance?
No, nothing's happening.
What about you?
I would expect an Aragorn sequel before an Avatar sequel. Which isn't going to happen.
I mean, what's your opinion of, would you want to see a sequel?
Oh, yeah, I'd see it, definitely. And I'd want it to happen if it was made right.
What if it was the same? What if it was M. Night directing and writing?
Well, it's not like it can get worse.
That's true.
I don't know. I just feel like Avatar is one of those things where you can't really put it on the big screen without at least like one person complaining about something. And it isn't going to be perfect, but you know, a sequel.
But like anything better than what we got. I actually do want to see it. I don't care if it's terrible. It's like, I don't think it's going to hurt any more than it already did. And it's interesting because season 2 is my favorite season. And I do want to see it made. Like, I want to see how they make Toph. I want to see all that stuff. But it just, from someone who's followed the movie news for a while, it doesn't look like it's going to happen, at least. I mean, we've gotten word that there's nothing new on it. There's usually not this gap in time before they
renew. Oh, no, it's never too early for a reboot.
That's true.
Never too early for a reboot.
I'll tell you what I want. I said this before. I want a serious, big money game.
Oh, you mean like a computer game?
Like a console or computer game.
Oh, okay, yeah. That would be...
Because, you know, we got some games, but they're not very good at all.
At some point, Nick released a MMO. I never played that. It was...
It sucked.
Oh, it sucked? Yeah. Most of the video games sucked. I think I got all of them. Of course I got all of them. I wasted my money on it. But yeah, so the movie, I'd say a sequel isn't likely, despite the fact that the movie was profitable, believe it or not. It did very well, foreign releases of it. So recently we got word of Dark Horse Comics, nice transition there again by me, Dark Horse Comics releasing several different comic books about Avatar. Or I guess graphic novels, not manga, because it's not Japan. But if that's how you want to think of it, then it's like American manga. On Free Comic Book Day on May 7th, we will be seeing short stories released with the Clone Wars comics, and I think you have to go to a comic book store to get that. I don't know too much about that, so honestly. Then, on either July 13th or the 26th, depending on where you look, The Lost Adventures will be released, which is a 240-page Avatar book with comics, 26 stories. On Amazon, the writers are listed as Mei Chan, who wrote Boiling Rock Part 1, I think. Aaron Ehas, who's the head writer and co-executive producer of Avatar, who we'll definitely be talking about more in the chorus segment, or the lack of Aaron. Joaquin Dos Santos, as a writer, he's listed. And Amy Kim Ganter, who apparently is an English manga writer, and others. This is just what I saw on the Amazon page, so I'm not sure how confirmed this is, but usually Amazon doesn't lie.
I got a pre-order. So
what excites me most about this is the fact that actual writers from the show are like writing comics. If Aaron does even one panel of comic, I will instantly buy it. I mean, I would anyway, but that's how much that would be amazing. I don't know how much Aaron draws, though, so maybe he just wrote it. There's that, and then after, the third thing in the press release was that there were all new Avatar stories would be released in early 2012, which makes more sense now that we know the Korra date has been pushed back. And those would be about the gang rebuilding the world, which is very exciting to have stories on that, especially if it would be written by actual people from the show. So, opinions on the last two things there?
I'm really excited. Like, one thing I wanted to blog about once was how Aang was going to deal with the aftermath, but I don't have to because they're going to write about it, so sweet.
I am super excited because it'd be an interesting thing to see rebuilding the world.
That would be very interesting. Yeah.
And of course, there's Zuko's mom.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, they said that in one of the recent Korra interviews on Wall Street Journal, I think Mike said that they're gonna release that somehow, but not in the show, which I assume would be the comics. That makes most sense. But as of now, we don't have any word that Mike and Brian themselves are writing on them, so I'm not sure how that works. But yeah, that would be interesting, especially for people who care about that story more. I've talked about this before, though, my lack of concern about it. Just getting anything Avatar at this point, after the art book was released, that was amazing. Getting anything Avatar now is great.
Yeah, I actually just got the art book last week. It was really cool.
Really cool, yeah. When was it even really released? I don't even remember.
It's like mid-2009 or something.
Oh my god.
I never got it.
I think the first section of the art book is the must-have part. The rest is nice, but it's like...
It's good reference material if you want to draw. You know.
Yeah, that's true. I think the first part is the part like where they get into the history of the show and stuff like that. It's mm-hmm. pretty cool. So, the comics... definitely looking forward to it. And it's coming out in July, and I think that'll be pretty cool. Help hold the tide over till Korra in mid-2012, which is something we'll get to now. So, yeah, I guess anything else on the comics? Opinions?
No.
Okay. So, let's move on to a discussion on, quote, The Last Airbender, : The Legend of Korra, which is apparently what it's named now.
Well, really, hold on, let me just say, I think they're trying to, like, tie it into the movie rather than tie it into actual series, meaning, like, they're working off the success, quote-unquote, of the movie.
Yeah, I don't know why they're calling it The Last Airbender. Maybe because the movie's more recognizable. I don't know, I mean, I don't think they would purposely tie it, like...
Yeah.
But maybe just because people know it as The Last Airbender now, because it doesn't make any sense for this to be called The Last Airbender.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say, "Oh, this is stupid. This is just them bowing down to James Cameron." But like for me, maybe it's not them acknowledging that he owns the title of Avatar. Maybe it's just them trying to avoid all the confusion that happened when they released the movie in the first place.
I'm not so sure it has anything to do with him. I mean, I don't think he has a patent on the name, unless
it's probably nothing legal at all.
Yeah, it could be reference to it. I don't know. I think though that they would. I think it's more of a decision to try to tie it to the most known thing about the series now, which I guess is The Last Airbender because of the movie, which is kind of sad. I hope they change the title. It doesn't make sense. The Last Airbender is the part after the colon, which designates its Aang's story. By the way, do we know if Korra is an airbender or not?
She's a waterbender.
Like, do we know if she's able to learn airbending? Have they said anything on that yet?
Well, she's going to be... She's the Avatar, so...
I don't think they've said... Like, this is why we should have read stuff. Reviewed all stuff. I don't know if they've said anything specific on it, though.
Well, what... I mean...
Well, she's going to Aang's son to learn airbending, so...
Yeah. I mean, have we... Do we know that she's going to Aang's son to learn airbending, or do we just know that Aang's...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I read somewhere. Maybe this isn't canon.
Yeah, okay. Korra is tutored by Aang's son Tenzin in the ways of airbending. Okay, so good. So, The Last Airbender doesn't make sense because there's two airbenders. That's what I'm trying to say.
You know, I'll bet you the next, if they do another spin-off series, it'll be The Legend of Korra, whatever.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Just keep the chain going.
Yeah. It should be called Avatar, The Legend of Korra. Okay, well, we're spending too much time on the name, but for now, it's called The Last Airbender, The Legend of Korra. The Legend of Korra is cool. That's fine. But, whatever.
It's kind of like the international titles for Avatar. Yeah. Like The Legend of Aang, something like that.
Which is good. By the way, a little criticism, Mike and Brian here. They constantly said in their Avatar Spirit.net interviews that Aang really is the last airbender. We heard that so many times.
Got retconned.
Yeah, and everyone was always like, all the Cat Aang fans were like, yeah, we're ignoring you guys because they're going to repopulate the Earth. Or at least that's what I thought. And it's good. And now it looks like, I mean, to have a sequel, it has to be like that anyway. I think they realized that to have more stories, this was the only way to have it make sense. I still don't know I guess it'll be interesting to see if they really are going to, like, quote-unquote, repopulate the Earth or not. Because it makes it seem like it's, like, Tenzin's, like, their only child. It seems like that. I mean, it's not, like, confirmed at all, but...
Maybe it's something like Star Wars where, like, I don't know. Apparently, in, like, the expanded thing, Luke just trains random people. become Jedi. Just saying.
But yeah,
you know, it's possible that, because in one of her interviews they said that there came a point during the show's production when they realized they would need to make more episodes, and maybe that's when they decided to change their minds about The Last Airbender being The Last Airbender.
Yeah. I think that also ties in the genetics thing and stuff. Because that was also the type of statements we used. It was like, they said in their interviews that that airbending is based on your environment, I think that's what they said. And I was like, oh, I'm going to ignore that.
And that's true. All you need to do, you just need to get raised by monks and you can be an airbender.
Yeah. So I guess don't necessarily take what they're saying true, which is about stuff outside of the series. Goes along with my, it's not canon unless it's in the show theory, which I've been over several times, so we don't need to get into that again. But, yeah, so we're starting to get into some of the core stuff. Recently, they released a new image. We have, like, two kind of, like, official-ish images now. Core looks pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And we also get the voice cast, which is, in my opinion, the most surprising development out of this. So here's the thing with the voice cast. We have, what, 3, 4, 8 voice actors listed here. Zero of them are unknowns, which is very interesting. One of them is J.K. Simmons, who is a name. Another of them is Daniel Dae Kim, who is also a name. And one of them is Sachiel Gabriel, who is Yue in the movie. What's your guys' thoughts on that? Make any sense?
I don't know, it could be cool. Like, in the original show, they reused a lot of the cast members for different characters.
Yeah.
No, I think it's going to be awesome. So we have Spider-Man's boss as Tenzin.
Yeah, the J.K. Simmons Spider-Man's boss.
Oh, is that him? Oh, cool.
Yeah. He's also the dad in Juno, I think. Stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I love that guy.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of Sachiel Gabriel being a voice actor after the movie. By the way, Mike and Brian seem to be trying to distance themselves from the movie in their interviews. Which, okay, a little mini rant time, which is totally BS, because they licensed the movie, they reviewed the script, and supposedly were on set and stuff. So I'm not saying it's their fault that the movie was bad, but don't try to like be like, oh, movie, no, it didn't involve us at all, when it did, and you tried to make it involve you. So anyway, mini rant. But yeah, so that voice cast, also of note is only one, like, young voice actor in there, who is Kiernan Shipka, who's the little girl in Mad Men. So she's not an unknown either. She's like 11 or something. Or maybe she's 8, I don't know. And so yeah, this is an older voice cast who are names. So what's
I'm pretty excited about Lance Hendrickson as the lieutenant. Because it sounds, I'm guessing that lieutenant is the character of this anti-bender revolutionary gunner.
That would make sense.
So this would be a pretty cool voice for him.
Yeah, so we also got character names.
Yeah. So he's the guy that played that rich dude on ABP.
That rich dude.
Yeah. That got killed.
Yeah, like, all of these people have been in movies and stuff. It's very weird seeing that. I mean, in the show we got Jason Isaacs as Zhao. That was, like, the biggest name, I guess.
Who did he play?
He was,
I mean, besides...
He was, he's in the Harry Potter movies. He's, Draco's dad.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and we got, who did Longfang? Was he a name? I don't know.
Who knows?
I used to know all the voice actors off the top of my head. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is, like, it doesn't seem as pure, I guess, I don't know, as Avatar. There's no...
trying to make it a big cash cow.
Yeah, there's no Zach Taylor Eyes in there. There's no... I mean, they started with some names from Nick, so I guess it wasn't purely voice actors in the first place anyway. But it's, I don't know, it's interesting. And then we got new character names now, Jinora, Hiroshi Sato, Mako, probably named after a voice actor, Asami, Lieutenant Bolin, and of course Tenzin. And missing was one of the other characters we knew about.
Was it like Milo or something?
Yeah, I think it was Milo, which is interesting that he wasn't listed there. Maybe there are other unknowns, they just didn't list them on the voice cast. I guess that's a possibility.
Yeah, some of these characters I listed might be recurring characters, not main ones.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I mean, there's only... So another thing they said was that originally they're supposed to be 12 episodes, and then they ordered, I guess, 14 more. It seems like it's going to be separate arc. It seems like it's like separate seasons to me. That's the impression I got.
Separate. Yeah, because like, cause they had to finish the writing before those 26 episodes were requested, so...
Yeah, they did. They're like in... I forgot where they are in production of those beginning ones, but...
I think they're done. They're just waiting for the animation to be done.
Yeah. And then I guess they have to do post-production stuff, yeah. So they're pretty much done with those, definitely in terms of writing. So I guess maybe it'll be a situation like the first season, there's like a gap between... I think it was 113 and 114. There's some gap in the middle in production or something, because they had to get it renewed and expanded. Maybe it'll be like that. It'll just be two parts of one season. Maybe it'll be two seasons. But either way, it's more episodes. And it seems like they're more willing to make it into a series now instead of like a miniseries.
I want to know why Nickelodeon changed their minds. Like, was it because they saw the unfinished product and thought it was awesome, or just they felt like it?
Yeah, I don't... I mean, I was even questioning before we got the recent news whether this would even be on Nick. Because Nick kind of didn't... I don't understand why Nick grouped the last 10 or last six, seven, eight episodes into 1 week and showed them during
summer. Make more time for SpongeBob and iCarly. That's why.
Well, both of those are the two shows that do legitimately get better ratings than Avatar, but...
Twinkies for your brain.
But it's like, that didn't really make sense for me from a rating standpoint. I mean, I've compiled all the ratings of these, and... The finale got legitimately good ratings, so I don't know if they expected that, because they played it at a Saturday during the summer. The final episode got 5.6 million viewers, which is insanely high for Nick. That's higher than an average episode of iCarly, and iCarly's like their highest rated show. So they've realized that this can get good ratings. I don't know.
Oh, it's a successful show.
Sam is representing the hatred of Nick. This Nick is dumb thing in standpoint.
I'm sorry, but I've seriously been watching Nickelodeon all day. Really, it's been 10 episodes of SpongeBob.
Well, to be fair, SpongeBob does get very high ratings, even on repeats. But Nick has to know what they're doing. I mean, I don't... So they make moves for a reason. They had to have... grouped these last episodes together for a reason. Maybe they knew that it would get high ratings this way, but I kind of doubt it, because they usually space stuff out. Because like with iCarly, they have a new episode like every 2 months now. So I don't understand what Nick's motivation is here. Maybe they think this can be in, they can expand the continuum after Korra more. I guess we'll have to see.
It's all about the Benjamins.
I mean, I don't know if they... See, the thing is, I don't know if they've, like, changed their mind. I don't think they would reevaluate since they ordered Korra. So I think the pickup has to be... Maybe they're planning on doing it all along or something like that. Whatever.
It's kind of unfair to the writers.
Well, writers meaning Mike and Brian.
Well, yeah. Unfair to whoever.
So let's talk about that then. Mike and Brian have said they've written all 12 episodes of the first ones. I guess we'll see about the next 14, but this is like my main hesitation with Korra, is that Mike and Brian are writing every episode. Now let's get into my Mike and Brian aren't good writers rant. So, Mike and Brian aren't good writers. Mike on his
own... What episodes have they written?
Let's go over this. Mike on his own has written some decent episodes, so I'll give him credit for that. Brian has not written an episode on his own. Mike and Brian together, in my opinion, don't have any well-written episodes together. And if Wikipedia would load, I'd get this up. But Mike on his own wrote The Blind Bandit, which was a brilliant episode. So that gives me hope that Mike can do it. But together... they wrote the finale, which in my opinion was a stupid move. In the season 2 finale was written by Aaron Ehaz, head writer, who's proven time and time again that he can write great episodes. it might be hard to believe that the finale is not well written, but if you can, because the finale has such high production values, you have to try to watch it while paying attention to the dialogue, and then you will see how bad it is. It almost ruins it for me now, because, and by finale I mean the last two episodes, because the third to last episode was written by Aaron, and the fourth to last episode was written by Mike alone. So, I mean, it was, for the first part of the finale was better written, but still not that great. So yeah, the dialogue isn't particularly good. I mean, the writing in the finale, I think it's a rear pull, the Lion Turtle energy bending thing. People have opinions on that. It came out of nowhere. They didn't incorporate it in. Aang goes out on his own. That whole plotline, I think, was flawed. I'm not sure any part of the writing in the finale, except the epilogue, was well written. And even the epilogue didn't take any chances. It was very safe, politely played. And I think it works, but I think that was Mike stealing the epilogue. He definitely storyboarded it. Other episodes Mike and Brian have written, obviously the first couple, but they wrote with other people. Mike himself wrote Southern Air Temple, which is, I think, a very well-written episode. Mike himself also wrote The Winter Solstice Part 2, which is decently written. They together wrote The Blue Spirit, which Brian thinks is amazing, even though... And again, it's a good episode, but it doesn't have particularly good writing. And Mike himself wrote The Waterbending Master, which is a good episode. And see, Aaron wrote the Season 1 finale. So, up until Season 3, when in doubt, they have given it to Aaron. They've given the important episodes to Aaron, which makes sense, because he's the head writer. He's actually a writer. But here's the thing. Mike and Brian went to art school and stuff like that. They're, especially Brian, more involved in the artistic side of the show. In Season 2, Mike wrote The Blind Bandit, so that's the main one. Mike, along with Josh Hamilton, wrote The Serpent's Pass, which is the weirdest combination of the show. They both wrote The Drill, which is more of an action episode. So again, there, them showing that not a writing-heavy plot. They together wrote The Guru, which I've heard many a fan say isn't particularly strong of an episode. Some people like it a lot. They like it more than we do, I think, I'd say. Mike wrote Day of Black Sun Part 1, The Invasion, which is the clearly inferior part of The Invasion. Aaron wrote the second part, which is brilliant. And then we get into the finale. So, I mean, based on that, Jeff, have you ever looked, have you ever specifically tried to look at it from a writing perspective like I'm doing now?
I haven't, really. I haven't considered it. I've knew that there were concerns about Mike and Brian writing Korra by themselves, but I haven't had any say on it or any opinion on it.
Yes, that's the thing. I think most fans probably don't do this like I'm doing now, like overanalyzing, breaking it down into parts like this. But so yeah, what I'm trying to say is that the episodes that they've written, apart from one or two, haven't been particularly well written. So I'm worried about them writing every single episode, because they've proven they can write the action episode and pull that off when they then again go ahead and storyboard it and they hand it off to their best director. They can do that, because the finale was brilliant, despite being not well written. And I challenge you to go ahead and watch it again and focus in on the writing. But they're not going to just have action episode after action episode, because even if they're not going to have filler episodes like they've said, then you still have to have some form of character development or something like that. And you need writing staff. What's the point of not bringing back brilliant writers like Aaron E. Haas, who, in my opinion, made the show? Let's go over Aaron's resume. We know that Aaron made Ko in the Season 2 finale. He wrote both parts of this. No, he didn't. He wrote the first part of the Season 2 finale. I'll edit this. John O'Brien wrote the first part. Toph originally was supposed to be a older male, as you see in the intro. Aaron's influence was particularly big in changing Toph into who she is. Toph is one of the most beloved...
Wow, that would have been really creepy if she was.
Yeah, so Toph is one of the most beloved fan characters. And also, Aaron Iroh was originally supposed to be just a comic relief character. And Aaron especially was big in expanding his part. And those are the two most fan-beloved characters. So you start to see my worry here without this backbone writing staff, especially Aaron. And then you get in some of the best episodes other than the finales of the season are, many of them are written by Tim Hedrick. For instance, City of Walls and Secrets, which is an amazing episode. The Deserter, stuff like that. So without influences of good writers, I don't think you can pull off nearly as much, nearly anything close to Avatar. I doubt the entire series because of it. I don't, and I worry that Mike and Brian are either being too egotistical or putting too much of like a theoretical fight with Aaron. I mean, that's the only reason I can see for them not bringing him back. I don't think he's doing anything right now.
Well, he's writing those graphic novels, but that's probably not too time intensive.
Yeah, it's not like another project or anything. Yeah. So why wouldn't they bring him back for this, unless it was like a personal matter or something? Which worries me that they're degrading the quality of the of Korra because of that.
It could be they just want to see if they can do it on their own. Like, nothing malicious behind it.
It could be. In which case, they'd be too much inflated heads.
Yeah,
I don't know. It just frustrates me a lot because this could be so good if they just had, they brought back the entire crew. I'm sure they're not bringing back the entire crew too because it was supposed to be a miniseries. I'm sure they have only a portion of it. I'm glad they brought Joaquin back, Joaquin Dos Santos. I mean, I know Giancarlo's not. He's not on for Korra. Giancarlo Volpe. And I haven't heard anything about the other directors. So it's I don't know. I'm hesitant to get too into Korra, even though I am. So
here's one thing. I wonder, like, I mean, obviously it'll matter how good it is, but I wonder how much. Like, are there going to be people that will not watch it because it's not good, or are there enough hardcore fans like us who are going to watch it no matter what?
Well, I think people are going to watch it no matter what. But I mean, there's most of the Avatar people who watch Avatar are casual fans, I would say, even though we have a very large fandom. But it's like those people aren't necessarily going to watch the entire series the whole way through, but if it's not as good. But I mean, I don't know if this is the point to be focusing on. We want it to be good, whether or not people are watching.
That's true.
I don't know. So, do you guys agree with me? Haven't thought about it this way, but do you also share concerns, or are you more just fully excited?
I'm just excited. Really, it really doesn't matter to me, like, who's there for the whole production thing. You know, as long as we have, like, some core people, which, you know, Aaron isn't a part of that, but, you know, I think it'll be good.
Yes, I think that's the opinion most of the fandom, I would say. And I guess that's true. I mean, if it's good, then none of this is going to matter. So I guess we'll see. Anything else? So, anything else on the recent interviews of note discussing? Well, first of all, they don't know how old Korra is, which is funny. She's 16 or she's 17.
Steampunk.
Yes.
Interesting.
Well, how do you think that's going to play out?
Well, it depends on, I mean, it could work, could not. I have my own little theory on how it actually happened.
Really, like, the mechanist just, like, spread his joy all over the world.
Yeah. It's Christmas. No, this has to do with, like, world politics and stuff, but it's basically, this is probably the first time the world has gone 100 years with no Avatar, right? I mean, maybe, but I'm pretty sure this is the first time. And because it's the Fire Nation that's been behind this whole invasion thing. They've had 100 years to develop all sorts of technology. Tanks, war balloons, airships, whatever. Drills. And I don't think this has happened. Like, I don't think that technology has advanced this far, this quick. And so now all of a sudden we have an Avatar back, but oops, you know, it's too late to turn society back in time. So they're just going to roll with it. So I was thinking we'd get some kind of rudimentary electricity in Korra, I was hoping, but I wasn't expecting motorcycles, but I guess that makes sense.
That's very, yeah, that makes sense, that they're definitely going on a faster pace technological-wise. But yeah, so Brian says in the recent interview, the difference is these people have cars and motorcycles and things, there's definitely a different dynamic, blah, 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 blah. So cars and motorcycles and things, people have expressed skepticism at that, because this is only 70 years. later.
Maybe it's like the Flintstones, where they just, like, pedal it with their feet.
Well, like, I've mentioned this before. Motorcycles were invented, like, 70 years before jet skis. And certainly, like, we don't even have giant freaking drills yet, so...
Yeah, so you're saying that the whole... You can't draw comparisons to this in our world.
Right. Their world's messed up anyways, so, you know, 70 years later, who cares? They're already ahead in technology in other ways, so...
Yeah.
Let's catch up.
I think I agree with you on that. I mean, they're obviously going to be bending-powered, or...
Maybe.
However they work the steam.
Well, because, you know, they're leading this anti-bender revolt, so obviously there's a big proportion of the civilization who's not a bender who's using these things.
That's true. How do you think that'll play out? By the way, that sounds their plotline. It sounds so much like a fanfic. But anyway, like this anti-bender revolt. The only thing that it needs is the daughter of Azula being the main villain. Then it would make it a real fanfic. This sounds like more of a low key plotline to me. Despite it, like, they've said it's going to be more plot-heavy, but this seems like it's not going to be as big of a deal. It's not like a huge world war.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think technology is going to be a plot point, just plot devices here and there, and it's going to change their world.
Well, I mean, like, the anti-bending,
revolution. Yeah, that's cool. I'm excited for that.
Yeah. I'm talking about, like, the stakes involved. I guess the revolution could be huge, but I don't know. That's, I guess, so interesting to be that. I'm saying, I guess it'll be interesting, like, to see how they handle a smaller plotline. If it is smaller, maybe they'll just try to pump it up, which I would expect that. Try to make the stakes really high. If this is going to be so plot heavy, like they're saying, like no filler episodes, how would you guys expect them to handle the beginning of the series and introducing, like, Korra and all these characters? That's my question. Because I'm not sure how they... I'm also... Another... I guess that brings me to another thing I'm worried about. I'm so much an optimist with this series. Is that they won't care too much about character traits and stuff like that, character development. Because they say they're going to have romances and stuff. Like Mike Bryan says, we've always liked humor and action, drama, scary stuff, and romance. They've said repeatedly they're going to have romances. But that doesn't seem to gel with the whole no filler episodes type thing. Or maybe their definition of filler isn't just, oh, let's have a huge fight here. Which,
you kind of need filler to, like, have character development, actually.
Exactly.
As stupid as that sounds.
Yeah, I
agree. I agree with that.
So maybe they don't count character development episodes as filler, which I would like, because then you can.
Or maybe they'll just be really squished into their plot, you know.
Yeah.
Which it won't be the same. It won't be as good.
I would expect that's what I would expect them having, like, these moments here and there, and yeah, because I've always liked more of, obviously, some of the lighter sides of the show than some of their huge action plot lines, and I think a very large portion of the show was, in fact, like, character development and stuff. Despite having all of these plot action lines going on, I think most episodes weren't those, and even the ones that were, there's a lot of character stuff going on, except, like, the season 3 finale.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it'll be interesting to see how they handle that. So yeah, you guys have said expectations pretty high. How do you think this will compare to the original series?
Well, it's
miniseries. Obviously not going to be as good.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're all so pumped up on our nostalgia and, you know, that's the best TV show ever kind of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe it's not going to seem as good, but I think it'll be good in its own right.
Think it'll come close?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll come close. I think if, you know, once they get the go-ahead for even more episodes, they can do a decent plot arc.
Yeah. I'd say that's most of the fandom's kind of perspective on this. But I guess this brings me also to our next discussion topic. So let's get into that now and kind of come back to this. So the next thing I want to talk about is, like, is, like, Avatar the best show ever? Like, that type of mentality. where does Avatar stack compared to a lot of like recent shows, older shows, even movies, even books, other stories in general? Because we're obviously huge fans of it. Is it just that amazing? Do we just say it's more amazing because of the fandom? So let's get into that, and then I'll start tying this back into Korra. So like,
well, I've had other shows, make me think before. You know, like, side note, I just finished watching Death Note for the first time. It was pretty awesome. But yeah, like, you know, I've had things make me think, but nothing has ever made me think as much as the season 2 finale. You know, that's an example of the writing behind that. You know, I had to, you know, process what happened for like 2 hours after I finished watching it.
I don't know. Definitely to like stacked up against like some of the recent media, it is probably one of the best recent TV shows out there. But you know, like the best ever, maybe not so much, but you know, it's definitely up there.
So I think you two are kind of tamed down compared to what some other people would say. For me, this is a struggle in for me. Because I look back on, for instance, well, I tend to focus on when I'm thinking about this, the Kat Aang plotline. And I say, why am I so obsessed with this? They didn't do a particularly good job throughout the show. So that makes me think, oh, do I just like this show so much because of the fandom and because how much we discuss it and like all the fanfiction tie-ins? Or is it really what's going on in the show? Because there's only so many Kat Aang moments in the show. It's like they don't really do a good job, especially towards the end. So, but then when you expand it towards the whole thing, it's obviously a different story. It's tough for me. I have a hard time evaluating it just based on the show, because we've had this whole, because it's just the fandom's such an integral part for me and many others. It's hard to compare, I think, Avatar to a show where I'm not going online and talking about it all the time. So, yeah, so that's the main part for me. And, like, yeah, do I see things a certain way because I read a fanfic, like, that would explain it better? Stuff like that.
Yeah, the fandom aspect of it is really, you know, that's a big part of, like, what makes the show both good and bad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You have all these positive things, like, in the fandom. Then you have, like, all the rabid people who just, like, fight to the death about things that kind of make it, makes you rethink things.
Mm. So yeah, in terms of what like non-rabid fans say, I think this is considered one of the best American animated TV shows of all time. So by some, not by all, right up there with Batman the Animated Series, The Simpsons. You could put it up there with those types. Those are the two. Most people would definitely put above it, but in terms of actual cultural legacy, it might fall there. I think it's tough for the show to gain any like actual like looking back. This is one of the best animated shows ever because it was on Nickelodeon, and it will be seen as a kid show. And I think that's kind of like why Mike and Brian seem to be trying to distance themselves from kid shows, from the fact that it'll be a kid show with Korra, even though it'll still be on Nick. Let's go back to Korra now. How do you think they're going to handle, like, the more mature side? They keep saying it's going to be, like, more mature. How do you think they're going to handle that with Nick? Because they obviously can't go too far into anything.
I have a question. What's the, like, highest, like, television-rated show, like, in terms of, like, what's the word, like, censorship ratings? So it's, like, Y7, is it, like, TV PG on Nick, or...
I think TV-14 is the highest. I don't know if Nick would do anything that.
I don't know. I don't really know how Nick handles their rating system.
Yeah, I don't think Nick's at a TV-14.
Yeah, but TV-PG, that might be it. I don't know. For Korra.
So I guess when they're saying mature, do you think it'll be just more mature themes, or...?
I'm guessing, yeah. Like, the story, you know... more complicated than just the evil emperor wants to take over the world.
Yeah.
I think people have more complex motivations. which will identify more with, you know, people who've matured since I'm tired.
Yeah, I'd say that's what they're probably going to go for. It's not like they can have more violent fighting or anything like that.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how they handle it. I don't know. Because more mature storylines would mean more, admitting probably better writing, which means you need writers. So that's kind of a contradiction for me. But, I don't know. So, back to the legacy thing. So we see Avatar as, like, one of those best recent shows and stuff like that. So, now that we see Avatar as that, can we see Korra as that? Does it have that sort of potential?
As a miniseries, I don't think it'll make it. It would need to be a full series before it does something like that.
Hmm. And plus, it's sort of like a spin-off series, too, so that kind of deducts points.
Hmm. Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. I'd say it won't approach the awesomeness of Avatar at all. But, so that being said, are we more excited for Korra because it's Avatar, or because it could just be a really good show?
Because it's Avatar.
Yeah, Avatar.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not much we know about it. I mean, if Avatar was just announced 2 years before it aired, no one would be interested.
But, like, let's say we knew that two creators with a track record of a good show been their belts were making this new series.
Well, there's been too many flops in the past for to go only on that, so...
So, yeah,
it depends on, like, if I like their past series.
So it's basically, it's Avatar, and I'd agree with that. Which brings us to the point that they've said that the old characters will pop up, like, in some way. I don't know if they've confirmed that everyone's going to be dead, but I'd assume that most people will, if not all.
Maybe they'll do, like, an Avatar Fire Lord episode or something.
That'd be very cool.
Have we confirmed that Zuko's not going to be there? Because he could still be the Fire Lord.
I have not seen that confirmed. I do not think it is.
Yeah, so he could still be there.
He could.
Just voiced by someone else.
He could be, yeah. We know Dante Basco's going to be voicing a Zuko-related character at some point.
Yeah.
So that would be a tie-in.
Spoiler alert.
Not really. So, I mean, maybe. The spoiler alert would be he said that one episode's called Skeleton in the Closet. Which is interesting that we got Dongfeng was releasing titles last show, and now we have one of the voice actors leaking the title. And of course they got
that's
on him for
maturity.
That.
That's the main maturity of the series. They're going to use mature, scary titles.
Scary Skeleton. Episode titles, that's the difference.
Yes. Skeleton in the Closet. Someone's got a secret to hide.
Maybe it'll be a literal skeleton in the closet. They did have skeletons, though, in the show. That was pretty immature, I guess. So, yeah. Let's go into theories now, if we have any. Do you guys have any... Before we start getting into specifics, any, like, general theories for the show, how it's going to work?
Nope.
Yeah, not really. Wrong people to ask.
I know.
And the wrong people to
I know. For background information, I put this podcast together 3 hours before. I was like, I'm in a podcast tonight. So, yeah. Let's go into physics now, because I don't either. Do you think... Let's go and look into the romance side. Do we know... I mean, it's hard to tell from character names who they're going to ship Korra with. Do you think there's going to be, like... Do you think they're going to work in a triangle, a love triangle now, after seeing what the fan-made triangle did in the last show?
They actually might.
I think Brian would...
Shut up.
I think they're going to do it.
Didn't they say that in the interview, that they want to go that direction again?
Did they say that? I don't know.
Pretty sure.
Apparently people have been shipping, like, Korra and Tenzin already, which I think is pretty much dead outside of the, like, crack side, because Tenzin's going to be voiced by J.K. Simmons. And
yeah, so he's probably going to be older now. We still don't know technically how old he's going to be, but... Okay, let's say... Well, okay, I want to figure the math out here. So J.K. Simmons is... he's 56 years old. So let's say Tenzin is 56. How many years in the future is this? Is it 70 or 75? Because I think they changed the
number.
Something like 70. I think they said 75 now. Let's check that. So if it's 75, let's say it's 75. Let's subtract 50. I'm gonna get my calculator out. This is for this is going to lead to a cat end conclusion. Just saying.
Oh, yeah. So I kind of figured. Trying to figure out how old they were when they had him.
Okay, so 75 minus 57 is 18. So that actually makes sense. So if Tenzin is like 56, then that would make Katara 18 and Aang 16 when they had. That's pretty young.
Well, are you adding like their already determined ages? Never mind.
No, because it goes from. Wait, does that make. Wait. So it's 18.
There's too many variables here.
I know. We can figure this out, though. It's just not good podcast for us thinking aloud.
Alright, so Aang is like 12/13. Katara is 14/15. And so we add the age gap between how old Tenzin is and how old. How much time has passed onto those ages, then.
So 14 years after the show ends, he's born.
Okay, there you go. So.
Which is actually pretty old for, that's Katara's to be like 28.
Well, maybe he was the youngest child.
Yeah.
28, or the oldest child, yeah. So we don't know, also we don't know how many kids they have. That'll be interesting to see. So if he's around that age, Katara will be 28, maybe an older, if they increase the time.
Yeah.
So that is
which would add the credence to more airbenders theory.
Yeah, and that also brings up the question of if he's their only son or something, how have they not had kids for that long? Which brings us into more mature discussion topics because their technology is not that advanced in the Avatar world. But okay. That's
cool.
It.
We don't know. It's never been discussed in the show.
That it has not. It has definitely been discussed in fanfics, though.
Oh, yeah.
Which we can't go into because I'm keeping our PG rating. Okay. That's the. By the way, when we get this, when we get ages and stuff, I don't know if they'll ever say Tenzin's age, but this is the type of analysis that's definitely, you know, it's going to happen once the show comes on. By people like me, of course. So in terms of not romance theories, do you think that with these 12 episodes that, like, they'll have just like that one plot line and they'll go through it in 12 episodes or they'll like break it down or into chunks? Didn't they say that they kind of wanted to be like one thing instead of multiple plots in interviews? Did they say that?
I don't remember them saying that, but they did say like they want it to be a tight arc, so you know, all the story arc of Avatar is squeezed into 12 episodes.
Yeah, so I guess that'll be interesting to see how they do that. Because they've spent, I don't know if they've actually spent 12 episodes on one villain before. They've kind of like spaced it out throughout a season.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of, they spent like 6 on Longfang, but not all of them have him and stuff. So I guess.
Maybe we could have like the one bad thing happening, which is this revolution, but different leaders that she fights, you know?
Yeah, within it.
Yeah.
Or maybe they can just have like character development episodes, which they don't consider filler. But I don't know. I guess we'll see. But if they think that plot, that every episode has to have plot development, then we're probably going to see a villain in most episodes, right?
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. And then what do they do with the next 12?
You mean 14?
Or then, yeah, the next 14 after.
Yeah.
I think
another plot.
Yeah, another plot. They could just do something else. I think another possibility would be doing another spinoff. Like at some point, like if they want to stop doing Korra, but it does say Nickelodeon had picked up Korra for 12 episodes. Recently, added decided to order 14 more shows, which makes it seem like they're more Korra episodes. Which he did say. He said that on his Twitter. I remember the guy who wrote this article.
And if they were gonna leave Korra alone and go with another story, you know, for the next 14, I'd feel kind of cheap. I don't know what the word is, but I wouldn't like that.
Yeah.
You'd be like, man, we just got to know Korra. What more?
Yeah, I guess it depends how awesome she is. I'm sure she'll be awesome though.
Mm-hmm. One thing I noticed from looking at the pictures we've gotten is that looks like there's some snow on the mountains behind Republic City. So we got some idea of either the elevation or the latitude.
Well, or just that it looks cool in the background. I don't know.
It could be like a secret civilization living up there.
I would hesitate against drawing too much into that, because it's just a rendering.
That's true.
But if it is accurate, then yeah. Maybe it's towards the North Pole or South Pole and stuff like that.
That's another thing I'm wondering. It's not a theory, but just a question. Like, where are they going to start the series off? Because we know that Korra comes from the South Pole, but she's been training with firebenders and earthbenders, so...
Do we know that she's been training?
Yeah, she knows firebending and earthbending.
Okay.
So, don't know. Like, maybe she'll be visiting home before going to find the Avatar. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll just be off the bat trying to look for Tenzin.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, I bet they go right into it. I bet they meet Tenzin first episode. Could not be, though. I don't know. We don't know how big Tenzin is going to be in the series. It makes it, what they've described makes it seem like he's a huge part of it.
I'm not a TV writer. I wouldn't know.
Well, neither am I a Brian, so that doesn't make any... Oh, snap. But yeah, I guess, I mean, we can predict based on what Mike and Brian have done in the past. But then again, they're trying to condense it, so I guess we'll see. When they brought in the bigger names previously, they haven't been for every episode. I've noticed that. They've been for here and there, or maybe occasionally, like, one episode, like, the Warden is in 106. I forget his name. From Star Trek. I guess it'll be interesting to see whether they use, like, the big voice actor names, like J.K. Simmons, who's Tenzin, though. Would they use him every episode? Would he be a main character? I would bet not. I mean, it would be hard to have... It would be weird if they had, like, a 6-year-old guy as one of the main characters.
Maybe they'll play him like Iroh, then.
Yeah. That would be interesting. I guess we'll see. Do we want to go anywhere else? Any other Korra discussion points to bring up?
Not really.
It's funny looking back, seeing all the fan art for Korra now that her face is revealed. It's like, you guys knew nothing.
You were wrong. That's not what her face looked like.
Yeah.
It's still a rendering.
Shame on you.
I guess it still could be kind of different.
Yeah, it's not fair to them, of course, but it's just funny.
Yeah, that was it was a while where we didn't know what her face would look like. That was interesting.
The back that launched 2,000 fan arts.
That's true. So I guess we'll see. Another interesting thing to see will be, does the fandom get back to where it was when Korra starts next year? That's a long time away.
Yeah, it's so sad thinking that a year from now we still won't have any Korra.
Yeah, I know. Especially, I don't know if they genuinely said mid-2012 anywhere. That's what people keep saying, but none of my official sources say that. I think. I said mid-2012 on the front page. Scratch that. So yeah, but it still could be, that still could mean like March, and then they have like one episode in March, and they have like a preview episode or something. It would be weird if they started during the summer. I don't know. So I guess we'll see. That's so far away. When it was the end of 2012, when it was the end of 2011, it was like, that's kind of close. We can kind of get there. But I guess we have that Lost Adventures comic book coming out relatively soon. Hopefully that'll be good.
Mm-hmm. We're a strong fandom. We survive. Always.
Kind of.
All the time.
Fandom's kind of still there. A lot of websites are dead.
You know. Well, yeah. They're kind of picking up.
Yeah, it's true. Once Court News started coming back.
Yeah, I know. Tank Forever never really died. So, there's that.
Yeah, KF.
Shameless plug.
KF was pretty strong. I noticed that for a while. I posted there after the thing ended. DF is getting back, but we don't have forums, so it's kind of a step back. I guess. And well, another thing I would question is what fan sites will emerge from Korra? Will there be new fan sites?
I know there's a few forums around.
Already, really?
I noticed. Yeah,
that's interesting. So, like, will those be like the most viewed forums for Korra, or will they be Avatar forums? Another interesting thing to see is what happens to this podcast. Because notice in the beginning, I say an Avatar: The Last Airbender podcast, and DF is.
Well, you'd probably have to add the Korra to it then.
Well, I have to see whether this is a Korra podcast or it's just an Avatar podcast where we discuss Korra, because that's possible too. So it's interesting, and also, I mean, most likely the podcast won't become regular again, but if it does, then that would happen. Is it like, are these Avatar fan sites going to be about, going to like still be Aang's story including Korra? Are they going to combine them? Stuff like that. Because it's like, are we instantly willing to bring this new series up to our level of fandom? And I think most people, not surprisingly, but it's interesting to see how readily they are to do that. Including me. It's just like, oh, here's a new series, it's a spin-off of a show, it's by Mike and Brian, much of the same crew. We're instantly going to obsess over it.
Yeah.
I don't know, interesting. Maybe not, but I guess we'll see. So, yeah, I guess we're going to wrap this up. I've been your main host, Dylan. Co-hosts have been Sam and Jeff. Damufeng, owned by Jake. Tekundra by Jerry, J. Kevin. Musical remixes by Luke Tripp. Can't believe I remembered that one. And I edit. Yeah. Wow, I remembered all of the credits, even a year later. That's awesome. So, yeah, I know. It's incredible. Avatar ended 2.5 years ago now, maybe more than 2.5, right?
I mean, yeah.
The season finale, 2008, what was it, June?
Seems so long ago.
That's July. July 2008. That's
July 17th.
It's incredible. It's almost 3 years. I don't, time. So weird.
Where's my life gone?
I know. it's because I can like remember specific instances even before that from the fandom. And now we're here.
Still sitting on my computers talking about it.
Yep. That's how awesome it is.
And we gotta end on something, right?
Yeah. I don't know. We wanna end on... I mean, Korra's the obvious one. What else could we do?
I don't...
Tremolin!
No. I feel like we've done that before, too, though. Let's... Okay, let's do Korra. That's what it's going to be called anyway. So, see you guys. Hopefully you'll have another podcast soon. Relatively soon.
With more
and,
people.
Oh yeah, and you can email us. Don't email us at podcast. Email us at webmaster@damwufeng.net. Those emails will go to Jake, and he'll forward them to me. Because the podcast email doesn't work anymore.
Oh, you can send me an email too.
Yeah, you can send Sam emails.
I don't mind.
Yeah.
QuamCR@gmail.com. Just so you know. With a K.
Actually do send the podcast stuff, though, because, well, the next time we have a podcast, if we get enough, we'll do a mailbag. So, yeah. Thanks for listening, guys, especially if you were a fan of the podcast before and still listening. So, let's end on Korra. 1, 2, 3, Korra!
Korra!
Wow, that was so unenthusiastic.
Only 3 of us. Alright, let's do it again. Do it again.
Okay, I'm not gonna edit it though. Okay, let's go. 1, 2, 3.
Korra!
Korra! I'm still kinda lacking, but okay.